This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello, welcome to Seeing Our Social Season 4, Episode 29. Not quite as upbeat as last time, but it's all right. It's okay. I think we're just about over it. But I'm here with Ben and Maz. Ben, you're shaking your head already about being over it. How are you, mate?
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'm buzzing. You know, we won a trophy last night. Adingra. We're not going to talk about Tottenham. We're just simply going to talk about the AFCON final. So if you're Ivorian and Nigerian, welcome to the Seeing Our Social podcast. It's going to be an AFCON special. And we're going to avoid any mention of Tottenham because that did not happen. And not only can I not remember anything from the game, it just didn't happen in general.
Fair enough. I mean, to be fair, yeah, we need to talk about Simon winning another major trophy as a Brighton player. It's insane in the space of only about a year. But before we do all that, Maz, mate, how are you? How are you feeling after the heartbreak at Tottenham?
Yeah, very frustrating. The amount of messages I got from Spurs fans was quite infuriating. But we move. We're still, ninth in the league. We are still within touching distance of Europa. It's not all doom and gloom. You know, I think we're 3 points off the seventh spot or sixth spot. So, yeah, it's not all doom and gloom, lads. It's obviously not ideal. It was very frustrating to lose in that manner, to lose so late on. It was pretty disgusting. But, yeah, it's not the end of the world. But I'm not happy, of course, as I don't think any Brighton fans are. But here we are.
Do you know what could have been even worse? Like, guess what could have been even worse than experiencing that goal in the stadium? Being in the home end. I was in the Tottenham wall on my own.
How? So imagine, why?
Imagine when that goal went in, when everyone was kissing and hugging each other, and I just stood there like, really, this just fucking happened. I managed to hold myself quite well because it seemed it was quite an equal. Oh, that's only the second time I've ever done that in my life. It is quite easy. And then that's quite funny, actually. I bumped into the guy I sat next to on the tube back, even though we'd stayed in like around Tottenham for like a couple of hours. And I was like, by the way, I'm a Brighton fan. He was like, no, you're joking. I was like, no, genuinely, I'm a Brighton fan. And then showed him my De Zerbi wallpaper. And he was like, oh, fair play. I literally had no idea. But yeah, that was really tough.
Did you have the De Zerbi wallpaper in the stadium?
No, so I switched it to just something standard. And then had to turn. I didn't realise. Obviously my phone open. I was scrolling through some notifications during the game just to check shit. And like the Brighton of Albion score notification came through. I was like, fuck, and I quickly swiped it because obviously that would have given it away as well. But yeah, managed to survive, live to tell the tale. But yeah, that was really tough, that last minute winner.
Everyone was keeping a stern eye on Ben's iPhone during the whole game.
Well, people behind you know, if you put it out, sometimes people look, don't they? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. But yeah, I had another situation, actually. So I was in the away end, but I mean, the heartbreak of it, coming home, right, I had to go to a family party for a 70th birthday. But they're all from North London, and you'll never guess who they support. So there's five Tottenham fans as I got back, including one my age and one who's 16. And you can just imagine, Jude won't be watching this, but it just, as soon as I come in and he's doing this, yeah, good one. Yeah, good one. I was fully expecting it. But to be fair to them, Some of them were a bit more humble, but yeah, I did get a bit to be expected, I suppose. But yeah, being impartial for the night was not easy, put it that way.
I think that's what it is for me. It's like, listen, lads, you beat us in the last minute 2-1 when we arguably were probably the better side for some parts of it. So it's not like you've absolutely trounced us, you know, done a Brighton to Crystal Palace. So chill your beans a bit, yeah? It was a last minute winner. And in my opinion, should have been a draw. Like, a fair result would have been a draw.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's going to be my question. Like, even
I actually thought we were
going to
nick
biased,
it towards the end as well, you know.
Yeah, so did I. And we'll probably get onto our chances towards the end because, like, as soon as Son came on, weirdly enough, they sat back and you're thinking, oh, well, they're going to go on and win this from when Son came up, but it didn't. I'll say if we had to say play a team to win, not being biased, I still think we probably deserved it just from, like, the amount of good chances that we created. Probably our dominance in the first half and then in the second half of the second half, obviously. But yeah, I think we probably just edged it out of it all. But what a game, though, by the way, for the neutral. That was a very, very good game. Two teams, I know people have been saying this every single pundit, but two teams that play football the right way. And would you know, it creates a really entertaining match for everyone to watch. So if everyone can play that way, that would be great. So we'll have a great, great league.
They play football the right way till they spend so much time on the floor. And that's the thing I always...
Well, they said that about us.
The cheating. Yeah, I know. So I heard. So I was reminded all night, mate. But I just thought, I guess that's what it's like, isn't it? One side's going to say it, the other side's going to say it. And I've probably got that bit of impartiality still. But at the same time, mate, Maddison was just in the ref's ear the whole time. And what really winds me up more than anything, as you know, is the inconsistencies with yellow cards. Ah, that is more annoying than anything. The major decisions, that is more annoying than that. The late flags, the inconsistencies with yellow cards. The players need to take responsibility as well for the cheating and the diving, and that applies to us too.
Yeah.
But, mate, the one when one's a yellow, then the other one's not, and you're like, but you've just... it doesn't make any sense. That's what really winds me
when Maddison clapped the referee, I was like, oh my God, he's going to get yellow here. It's like, that would have been the perfect yellow. He literally went up to his face and was like, being all sarcastic. And then everyone around us was just saying, oh, that would have probably been a blue card if it does ever come to the Premier League. And rightly so. That was, I don't know how we avoided anything there.
No, I know. I don't get it. But yeah, Maz, your thoughts on, let's say, the first half. I mean, I thought we were pretty good. You know, Danny Welbeck was doing some good running in the first sort of 10-15 minutes, I thought. And we were looking pretty good. I mean, it probably surprised us a little bit, especially when we got the penalty.
Yeah, no, definitely. I thought I was actually going to mention Danny Welbeck, funny enough, because he's actually been really, really good recently, and he does bring a different edge to the team. And yeah, winning that penalty was great. Nice little play as well. I thought he linked up with Buonanotte quite nicely throughout the game. And also, yeah, just to be able to win us a penalty when we needed it. And then Pascal Gross with a fantastic finish. Considering we were missing João Pedro, Mr. Ice in the veins, you could always have that seed of doubt. You know, the penalty taker who hasn't taken a penalty for such a long time, in that kind of pressure situation, will they mess up? But thankfully, Pascal Gross also has got
ice in his veins. He's still done that technique. You know, the technique where he usually, well, I think he's missed a couple for us. He kind of like cuts it, like almost drills it rather than actually like striking the ball properly.
It's really weird
why he still does that. Because, like I said, he's missed it before doing that or hit the bar, skied it, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But yeah, at least this one went in. Yeah, I was not confident when he stepped up, I'll be honest. I thought Dunk was. Had they done that thing where Dunk grabbed the ball, made the keeper think, made the car think that Dunk was going to take the pen? I was like, oh, you know, I've got confidence in Dunkey, that would be great. Two goals in the space of two games. That'd be nice for him. But yeah, Grove stepped up and I was thinking, oh, if it's anything like, was it West Brom when he skied over the bar or hit the crossbar? And then Danny Welbeck followed up, but it was the offside.
Yeah.
Because the players, I can't remember what, that was the really weird offside, wasn't it? Yeah.
He's had a few.
That game against West Brom was just mental.
He did miss quite a few. Yeah. I remember he scored a penalty against Tottenham I think it's first season, wasn't it? So I had that in my head. Yeah. And again, that really wasn't the most convincing. But yeah, he's got that, as you say. Yeah, the technique is a bit weird, but he did bury it, in fairness. But yeah, I suppose I must admit, I thought it was going to go wide, just because of the way he sort of struck it. I thought, oh God, he's gone a little bit too far left, but he's gone straight into that side netting, to be fair. And he's had a great game, Pascal Gross. Again, what a surprise. He's a great player.
And also as well, like, well, the penalty side, obviously, Vicario, you can't really do much as a goalkeeper. You know, you can be the hero in, from a penalty situation, but you're not expected to save them. But he did save them in other occasions, especially in that first half as well. That save from Welbeck, the curling shot he did, that was a great save from Vicario. So, yeah, that first half, in general, I thought yeah, we played the good football. You know, players like Van, I'm sure we'll get onto them, but Van Hecker and Gilmore, like Van Hecker's progression as a centre half is actually like watching the Super Bowl last night.
You mean as a striker?
Yeah. He might as well play striker, mate. The how far he was up at the pitch. Jesus Christ. Mate. Yeah, literally. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I actually do want to speak of Van Hecker's progression because love the way he carries the ball. I love it, like, because it does add a completely different dimension to the team. However, he can, and I think for the first goal, he was caught out a little bit because he was then so far up the pitch. By the time then they started breaking, he was like lung busting back, and he didn't make it in time. And it's not to say he's to blame, but he was so far up the pitch where it defensively our shape just got a bit skewed. So, but I do love his progression, and he was colossus the other day, but unfortunately on the losing side.
Just quickly, last thing, before we move on from Gross, I just love talking about Gross. And you know, I think in the last episode we spoke about how he still doesn't get spoken about enough. But actually, people in the stadium around me were actually talking about him. One guy even brought up the De Bruyne stat, and I was just in my head, I was like, thank God someone else is saying it, so I didn't have to turn around and back him up as well. But yeah, he was like, oh, in the past like six seasons that they've been in the Prem, only De Bruyne is ahead of him in chances created. He's like their star player. And I was like, yes, thank you. You actually know ball. So he is finally getting recognition from not just Brighton fans and statisticians. He's actually getting it from random Tottenham fans.
He's just always involved, isn't he, in pretty much everything good we do. Everything. He's there. Mm. So, yeah, speaks volumes. Yeah.
Did you see the stat of him this season as well, which I only saw? I know it's only like a rating. I can't remember what the app or the statistic was. But again, he's like in the top five in the Premier League players. Of all Premier League players, is a SofaScore ratings. Take what you will from them sort of ratings, I guess, but I mean it's still pretty impressive because we know how good he is, so that it can't be that badly inaccurate.
Was it 6.8 he's averaged for us, isn't he, for this season?
I'm just trying to find it now, to be fair.
I think it was 6.8.
you might have to let me off one. I'm trying to find thing is, the Twitter thing is not quite easy to navigate, is it? You sort of search keywords, you're like, Pascal Gross, where is it? He's got 12 assists so far, 12 goals, 12 assists so far this season. That's pretty mad, to be fair. I think I remember when it was like De Bruyne would get like 18 and everyone would say it was a joke. So that's that's something. Here you go, I found it. So if you look at the top SofaScore ratings, as I say, take what you will away from it. But to give a reference as to who's in the top, so I'll say the top 10. So you've got Rodri at number one at 7.95. You've got Mohamed Salah in number two with a 7.76. You've got Heung-Min Son, number three, 7.67. Phil Foden, number four, and 7.63. Bernardo Silva, 7.63 as well, so tied in fourth. And Pascal Gross, just literally 0.01 of a degree lower than them, 7.62 in sixth. And then that's Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard, and Bruno Fernandes behind him. Not to mention as well Kieran Trippier. So that's mad. You know, when you look at the players that he's in company with, that's Pascal, mate. That is him. He is a fantastic player. Hopefully people start taking him more seriously. But I don't think they will. but you're right saying about João Pedro missing. Hopefully he's not out for too long. Yeah, no, true actually. I mean, he's what, 32, 33? Be a weird investment for a big club to make now, but we'll see. We'll say about the Van Hecker thing just quickly, because you said about it being colossal. And I just want to give him his flowers as much as he deserves, because at times probably you would have questioned, particularly Dunk and Estupiñan yesterday. Not saying Dunk was, sorry, the day before, no. Not because Dunk was particularly bad, but there's a few stray passes. Purvis, I don't quite know what's happened to him since his injury, to be fair. He's not come back the same. But I just thought Van Hecker just was so... I don't think I saw him miss anything. And am I right in saying he's, what, 23 now? I think he had better stats this season than Virgil van Dijk, which is insane. He's going to be begging for a call-up for the Euros as well. Your thoughts, Ben, on not just Van Hecker, but I mean, in terms of his importance now has to be talked about like Lewis Dunk. I mean, he is probably outperforming him this season, to be honest.
No, I think he is outperforming it, performing him as well, to be fair. I couldn't imagine Dunk doing the role that Van Hek had, maybe because they're completely different ages and Dunk's a bit more on the older side and maybe not that, hasn't got the athleticism to keep up with running up and down the pitch, following Maddison every way he goes. And yeah, that's a good point, actually. I didn't even think about the Euros. I mean, they've got some decent centre-backs out of the Netherlands, like De Ligt, who plays for Bayern Munich, like you said, Van Dijk. But Van Hek, I can guarantee you he'll be on that plane for sure, because he's been unbelievable. Like one of the best, definitely, yeah, one off. Yeah, I was going to say if not, but yeah, definitely one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League this season, like hands down, ahead of his Dutch counterpart Van Dijk, like we saw on Squawker when they did that head-to-head stuff, and Van Hek outdone him in the stats, which was quite insane. But yeah, I think like you said, he's been, yeah, I think better than Lewis Dunk, which is an incredible feat in itself as a Brighton player. But then in terms of when you're comparing him with everyone else in the Premier League, he's been phenomenal. And yeah, if you ask him to do anything, he seems to do it well. I think there was only one hiccup that he made when James Maddison actually skinned him and he slipped over, but that's probably about it. And Maddison actually went up to him and gave him a little bit of stick because it looked like he was quite fed up with the fact that JP was chasing him everywhere he was. It was like Ander Herrera versus Eden Hazard, that meme where he's just chasing him around everywhere. But yeah, Van Hek's been phenomenal this season.
Yeah. Elaborate a little bit what Ben said as well. I think I've noticed is where it wasn't happening before, Van Hek is getting spoken about by other fans as well. Like I saw after the Spurs game, a lot of Spurs fans giving him his flowers, which is really nice. And I think that's one thing with Brighton players sometimes. They go under the radar because we are looked at as like a smaller side and we're not one of the top six. So, you know, those players don't get spoken about in the same breath. So it was just, yeah, it was refreshing to see other fans appreciating Van Hek's talents as much as we do. And I think you're right, Ryan. I think he's now arguably one of the first, he is one of the first names on the team sheet. I think De Zerbi sees him as integral to the team and how much he's developed as well from the time going on loan at Blackburn and then coming pretty much straight into the side the season after. Yeah, he's just gone on leaps and bounds since that loan move. And hopefully he stays around and doesn't get poached by a big side, because he is integral to the way we play. And like I said, his ball progression as well is amazing for a centre half as well, and gets the team going.
Yeah, he screams to me, like I said about Billy Gilmore, is that sort of future captain vibe. I mean, Billy Gilmore again was brilliant. I think I said before, I think Billy Gilmore, his biggest thing is he tries to almost be too precise when he passes, so sometimes that can end up giving the ball away a couple of times, because he always tries them line breakers, doesn't he? And I think it's great. It's a great trait to have. But I think when you see the video of him at full time with Dele Alli, by the way, to see both of them talking. And Dele was obviously looking good, looking well, which is nice to see. But more importantly about for us, Billy Gilmore, you can see there, right, when he gives the ball away, I know it's frustrating, but he's just a kid. Like, you see how small he is in comparison to Dele Alli. It's so funny. He's the same age as, actually, I think I'm older than him, which is insane. So yeah, he's only little. So I think it just proves that, you know, thinking 5-6 years, how good he's going to be for us, it's unquestionable, yeah. I think.
It is mad. Like, you think about that, for his first game for Chelsea, when he completely dominated the midfield against Arsenal, everyone was like, bloody hell, this is going to be like a future Chelsea legend. And now to think that we have him and he's going to hopefully be a Brighton legend is incredible. Yeah, with that video of Dele Alli, I don't know if I was getting ahead of myself or I was really drunk when I saw it, but I felt like Billy Gilmore was like, you're going to come play for us or something like that. Did he not like kind of flirt with the idea or joke about it? Or did I lip read it completely wrong? Or was I the only person that saw it?
I didn't hear that, you know. I didn't look at that.
It looked like he kind of joked about.
I mean, I've just got off a Skype call with... Yeah, it's got off a Skype call with Paul Barber. Oh my God, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. As simple as that. If you got off a Skype call with Paul Barber, just talk to me about Dele Alli, the potential in the summer. Hashtag P. But yeah, what do you think, Matt? maybe a move for Dele Alli in the summer. Did you speak to Paul Barber on Skype?
No, I haven't yet. I think I'm chatting up in about an hour, so I'll let you know how it goes, all right? But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it would have been that kind of chat. But you never know. You never know. I don't know if he'd fit into our side, you know, Dele Alli. I'm not sure.
Do you know what? I think if Lallana goes, like, Lallana retires, it could be that kind of good replacement, that techie baller that we need.
True, actually.
In between the striker and the midfield.
Is he going to be just another 2016
Delhi, mate. Comparisons with Lampard.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't think it was... Dele Alli, don't get me wrong, I don't think it was... I might be wrong. It's not an injury record. It was obviously just the stuff that's happening off the field that had made the break.
No, but he did get injured quite a bit as well.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. I don't know. I just feel, for some part of me, maybe I'm just being romantic with football, but I feel like he could just rejuvenate his career at Brighton. Like,
yeah, to be fair, we never sign injury-prone players, do we?
Yeah, so. Nothing we do. We never do anything like that.
Yeah, literally. It's just another Lallana, just younger version. But no, I don't know. Look, like Ryan said, a peak Dele Alli would be incredible, but then would a peak Dele Alli go to Brighton? That would be, you know, if he ever got
he's not at his peak anymore, but we get into his peak. A bit like Barkley at Luton, Ryan. Yes, thank you. Barkley at Luton.
Waves, mate.
I don't know. I think it's two different cases. I think it's two. I don't think their paths are the same, Barkley and Dele Alli. I think they're very different.
Sorry, what I'm saying is
but similar
Barkley
players,
would never...
probably what I'm getting at.
Oh, similar players,
fight,
yeah.
You can fight my corner, Ryan, because you're saying everything I'm saying at the moment.
Yeah. Well, look, anyway, we don't know if it's going to happen.
Reading each other.
We don't know if it's going to happen, but my personally, I wouldn't want Dele Alli, but yeah, that's just me.
Right, yeah, I've just put £50 on Dele Alli to join Brighton in the summer, so be gamble aware though. Don't... when the fun stops.
I really hope that someone is listening to this that was on Brighton Twitter in, sorry, say 2018, I think. Because the Dele Alli Paul Barber thing, it just, someone needs to remember that because it's just so funny. But yeah, anyway, we will we'll move on swiftly. So what are we at? Where are we at? We're second half. Obviously the halftime show, I don't know if you enjoyed it, but Declan McKenna. I saw Jack Albion, he sat near me, so I went to go speak to him about it, and we had a little chat about antics on Brighton Twitter and God knows what else, and having a little catch up, of course. And yeah, I did.
Mate, I could see Jack there. From the opposite side of the stadium because of his big yellow coat. It was really not hard to see him. There was only two people in the away end with yellow coats.
Yeah,
and one of them looked more like Jack Albion than the other. So I thought, yeah, there's Jack. Like 10, we were probably like 10 or 15 rows back from the front, maybe 10. Yeah, that's quite
funny. Yeah, he was. He was row. I was row 10, so he was row 11. So yeah, that's weird.
I'm mad, yeah.
The fact you actually were not lying, I thought you were joking.
no, I was being deadly
so,
serious.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. No, I thought the second half, I thought, yes, okay, we'll give credit to Spurs. They came into it. They did. They had us a little bit at times. I thought when they scored, it was probably a bit... I thought we were going to capitulate, if I'm honest. I don't know about you guys. I've seen that happen before at Brighton recently. We get hit sort of 2-2 and then we get a bit worried and then all of a sudden we've conceded 3. But
well,
I don't
the
know,
biggest
I
worry was seeing Son come up, wasn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, just trying to paint that picture of that Sargo as to how unlucky you can physically get. Where Dunk's almost... He's done everything right. I mean, we've been torn apart in midfield, but... That block is just so unlucky, Maz. On another day, that just goes behind. And if it was us, for example, that's not even going to fall at our players' feet. That's going straight behind for a corner.
Yeah, it was a horrible goal to concede. And I feel like we say that a lot with Brighton. We do concede horrible, unlucky goals. And yeah, it's like...
It's so unlucky. It's actually horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what more can he sort of do in that situation? It just... The ball falls back to Saar. And he finishes it from like a tight angle.
Anywhere else.
Yeah, just anywhere else, but back to Saar. But yeah, also just going back to that.
It's like a goal you can see on FIFA.
Yeah, no, literally. Like NPC moment. But no, going back to Van Hecker, again, I'm not blaming him for the goal at all because it wasn't his fault at all. But just the fact that, yeah, he did lose the ball so high up the pitch. He was then tracking back and then it did leave us a bit defensively... All over the shop for that breakaway. So yeah, it just that defensive breakaway. Defensively, we didn't look great, like the shape, and that didn't help. Obviously, Dunkey, and yeah, he's just unlucky. It was an unlucky guy. I don't think there was anyone to blame as such, but just unlucky.
No, was that the goal when Jason Steele booted the ball, and obviously it just didn't go to anyone? Or was that the second goal when that happened?
I think that might have been the second goal.
You've got me now.
Was it the second one? Because there was like a scramble in midfield and then they ended up breaking. I can't remember which one it was, but I mean, I don't want to blame on Jason Steele because I was actually I was quite disappointed when Verbruggen wasn't in goal because I thought he didn't do anything wrong to not be in goal. But and I normally kind of slate goalkeepers, but I think Jason Steele done pretty well against Tottenham, to be honest. He made a few decent saves. Didn't really put a foot wrong apart from that, maybe that goal kick. Or it wasn't even, probably wasn't even a goal kick, it's just actually in possession. Yeah, no, I thought Jason Steele was really good, so fair play to the boy.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, that save,
I agree. And the opposing seems to have sussed out a little bit, to be fair. Yeah, he's don't know, sometimes he was done and maybe a little bit too easily on the near post, you would say. I feel like they did try and target it a couple of times. But yeah, no, fair play to him. He met his match. I actually thought, as I say, on the whole, we were pretty good. I thought Tarek was good on the right in the first half. Then he sort of went a bit more advanced and maybe lost his legs or maybe a little bit towards the end. I thought all round, the team, if you go through individually, we're pretty good. Apart from probably left back, perhaps. And maybe in midfield, you would say sloppy at times. Maybe midfield would give the ball away a bit cheaply. But then that's to be expected, as we've always said. Caicedo, McAllister, you know, we keep going back to it, but it's true. We don't have sort of any presence there, do we? So it goes through us quite quickly. But I don't know about you guys, but I thought that taking Gilmour off when we did was actually a bit of a shooting ourselves in the foot moment. Not saying it's directly to do with the goal, but I just feel like we maybe lacked a little bit of control that we had before. And then we were a little bit too passive coming through, I thought, for the Brennan Johnson goal. And then obviously as it goes in, it's just, you just feel totally numb, don't you? I think I actually dropped to my knees and was just holding on to them horrible bars in front of you. I hate that away end. It's rubbish. I'm never going back to Spurs again. I've said this so many times. I've done it 4 times, and it's the last. I promise you, it's the last time I'm doing it because I'm not going back.
We never do well there
because I just got too many bad memories. Nah. But mate, the only time I missed it was when Trossard scored that last minute winner. The only time I missed it. So,
oh mate, yeah. What goal that was!
Just
mate, the only time I've been to Spurs away was in the in the cup when Bissouma had that worldy game. That was the last time I went to Spurs away.
We still got smashed.
I think we got four.
I had a rubbish coffee from Starbucks.
Yeah, that was a horrendous game.
The highlight of the game.
Three.
Bissouma was class that day, and he fucking left to go Spurs.
Yeah, mate, watery coffee, rubbish. He was. Yeah, he was. But talk to me about, I don't want to talk about it. We've got to talk about it with the Brennan Johnson goal. I don't want to get horrible, but I mean, it's a step up, isn't it? It's a mistake from Mr. Pinyan, and it's an offside trap that's failed. To be fair, it's a very quick break. They've done very well to get to that position. But what can you do? Well, as soon as that ball goes across, you know it's going to go in, don't you?
As soon as that ball went to Son, thought like that it was game over. That even if he wasn't going to shoot, like he's going to get that pass like nailed on. If that was Timo Werner and Son was still at the Asian Cup, or hadn't come off the bench at that point, then we would have been absolutely fine. But the last player on that pitch for Tottenham that you would want that to fall to put the ball across the box like that was Son, and yeah, he was incredible. It good flick on from Richarlison as well. It was just a really, really, really good break. And it was just heartbreaking when that went in. Brennan Johnson, of all people, who gets a lot of pelts from Tottenham fans, it seems, as well. So I think they were quite happy that he scored it. But yeah, that was... honestly, I could not believe my eyes when I saw that go in. I thought, for fuck's sake.
It was frustrating because I think we've touched on already, Estepinian, if he just didn't stop running and like trying to appeal for offside, he would have got there before Brennan Johnson and he would have been able to clear it. So I think that was the frustrating thing, is like he's trying to play, like just play to the whistle, like don't worry about what the Lino's doing, just focus on do your job, as Roy Keane would say, and just get back there.
No, I think he tried to get Son offside, didn't he? It wasn't no, him know, stopping but to call offside. No, it was like him trying to like catch someone offside.
But essentially, he stopped in his tracks rather than just keep running. Just keep going back to make that recovery. And yeah, he just didn't do it. And yeah,
it's just a failed offside trap, isn't it?
Yeah, annoyingly, he just didn't pull it off well at all.
I just got over
trouble is when you do offside traps right against super quick players, it's marginal. It's a split second. You have to get it perfect, otherwise you're done. And that was an example of a high pressing team at their very best for that goal. And you've got to give credit where it's due for that. It's a difference in quality, which probably we didn't have on the day. As we said, Ansu's moment that had to go in for me, and I thought it was. I'm not going to get on Ansu's back because I get he's not sharp at all.
He's been
out of it for a long time, but but I thought that was a goal, mate. I really did. Go on, talk to me.
Even if you're off it, mate.
Moment, if you want.
Even if you're off it and miles off it and haven't played for 4 years, I think John down the street, if I looked at someone there, would kind of get that on target as well. Obviously, that's not the case. John might miss it. But the fact that Ansu fell to Ansu Fati, I thought that could be. I was talking about it with my friends, like, who would be funny if they score? Like, if Bissouma scored, that would be quite funny because obviously he used to play against us. If Fati scored because he was linked with Spurs in the summer. I thought that would have been brilliant. It just goes just past the post. I thought, fucking hell, that would have been it. That could have been it. I don't know what would happen. I probably would have got kicked out because I don't think I would have been able to hold it in. That was a really golden chance.
Just on that as well, obviously, it was a poor miss. I don't think there's any way we can sort of sugarcoat it. However, having players like Ansu Fati and Mitoma back, you could see the difference in terms of going forward. We've talked about how good both teams were going forward. I think they are integral to that. I know Mitoma probably wasn't his sharpest because obviously he's been out of the team.
He
looked good, I thought. But yeah, like Ansu Fati, obviously, I think still a bit rusty. But having those kind of players coming back, I think is going to be huge for us because I think we missed those players. Aside from Crystal Palace, I think we missed those type of players that can run at people. They've got pace. They've got, essentially widers. Like when Adingra comes back, it's going to be great because he's bitten on flames. Obviously, his two assists in the AFCON final as well. And the way he skinned Olly Aina as well for that goal is that's the kind of play we're missing. And to have that back, I think it's going to be, it's going to be great when it comes back.
Yeah, it's really good to see Wilfred Zaha win the Africa Cup of Nations as well. Oh, wait.
I'm glad you mentioned, what's his name? Sorry. I'm glad you mentioned Kuru.
Yes.
Because I think...
Give him his flowers.
That first touch, mate. I'm going to... This is my... I don't even think it's that unpopular. It's not that unreasonable. For players that I've seen... Right, physically seen. I counted up my games. I've done about 250 games in my lifetime, right? And I've seen great players. I've seen your Messi. I've seen Ronaldo. I've seen Neymar. I've seen Suarez play live, right? And this isn't to discredit any of the above because I'm not going to associate Messi in this conversation because he's a different level. He's in a bracket of his own, right? But I've not seen any player play against Brighton or for Brighton that has a better first touch and Kari Mitoma. And if you don't believe me, watch a 90-minute match of Brighton and see how many times Kari Mitoma fails to control the ball. If you can honestly give me a tally of how many times he fails to control the ball, then we can see... Because I'd love to get a stat. If there's a way of working out that stat, of how many times Mitoma actually hasn't been able to control a football, I'm yet to really see it. And I honestly try and see if I can find him miss it, but he doesn't. And it's like, even if it's a ridiculous angle, if the one in the first half, two of them, when Doug's out, unbelievable pass, by the way, the outside of his foot, he's plucked out of the sky. And then the other one, sort of come at a diagonal, he's jumped, but almost like a second jump, if you like, and he's brought it out of the air again, brought it down. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. And like, okay, look, Neymar, Mahrez, Messi, different level players. But I'd put it on that similar sort of level of control. I've not seen a close control like that, and I don't think that the people will call me delusional because they won't watch it, they won't see it, and I'd love to say like if there was a Big Six fan that's disagreeing with me, probably one of the Big Six players, podcasts, they'd be like, oh, you didn't watch this. I'd be like, yeah, where were you at the game? You weren't there. Oh, what a surprise. What a surprise. You watched it on telly. So that's what I'm like. I genuinely, in my own eyes, haven't seen a better control of a football than Kari Mitoma. Full stop, apart from maybe Paddy McCourt, but we'll leave that where it is.
I'm glad you said Paddy McCourt. But no, I think I spoke to you after the game as well, Ryan, about Mitoma. He'd obviously seen our team of the season so far video.
And yeah,
really
yeah.
Disrespected that I'd left him out. And he's really stepped it up ever since he's come back. But yeah, I think he was one of the biggest positives from that game. He was so good down that left-hand side. Yeah, ran Pedro Porro ragged at most times. And yeah, his first touch is incredible. His pace looked like he was back on it as well. He looked so, so sharp, even though he'd just come back. I don't really know how many minutes he got at the Asian Cup, to be honest, because the only game I saw, he didn't actually play.
Yeah, I don't think he started much.
Start for at least.
Yeah, I think he came off the bench
twice, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think they're right.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable, and so it's so nice to have him back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think the Japanese manager rates him that much. But yeah, it's good for us, I suppose. It means, because that was our whole thing, wasn't it? The fatigue problem was a big issue, wasn't it? We were talking about, is he fatigued? Has he been overplayed? Is he getting the support, especially with when Estupiñán was out? I think that was the big talking point, right? And then he went to the Asian Cup and we're like, shit, he's going to play loads of minutes and get even worse, like as in more tired and more fatigued. But actually, in actual fact, it seems like he didn't play that much, which might have been good. It might have given him that bit of respite that he needed potentially. But still kept him match fit. So I think we were the winners out of that. And obviously we beat Japan as well, Iran. So that was always nice. And we got Mitoma back. So win-win.
Win-win.
Yeah, no, totally fair. But yeah, Karu, what player, as we know, Adingra now, okay, because we need to talk about Simon. Mate, what an achievement. What an unbelievable achievement. I know that it's not... We've seen the World Cup at Brighton now. So, you know, it's just AFCON now. This is massive. Really, really
Euro's
impressive.
Next,
I tell you what, I'm so happy for him. Euro's next. See, Lewis, mate. I'm just Lewis saying. Don't. I don't want anyone else to win it, to be fair. It'd be nice if Lewis is the one to do it.
Yeah, it'll be Pascal Gross, won't it? For Germany.
Let's talk about Simon Adingra, guys. Yeah, for God's sake. Yeah, last minute penalty. He does one of them drivers against us. That's what he's going to do. I've been waiting for it. But yeah, no. Let's talk about Simon Adingra, mate. Because could you imagine? This is a player that was... Do you remember last season when we were talking about him on loan at USG, saying he's going to come over, going to be this great little talent. He's only 20, 21. And, you know, no one knew who he was. We would say about Adingra coming back, and even in our own fan base, a lot of our fans didn't know who he was. And then fast forward not even a year, and he's become such a great player, and he's only 22. He's now won the AFCON, and he got two assists, as Maz said earlier. Ben, your thoughts on Simon Adingra is not just the fact he's won it, but his performances have been... He got man of the match. He won AFCON Young Player of the Tournament as well. It must be huge for him to bring back here.
Yeah, it is mad. Like you said, from being not a nobody, but a nobody, especially in European football, not that long ago, to then being one of the most talked about stars in AFCON is incredible. The amount of times that the Sky broadcast brought up Brighton as well, which is... it's just mad that we were the talk of the broadcast on a number of occasions. It just goes to show like how good the club is doing. But yeah, he was incredible and thoroughly deserved to win the young player. I didn't even know he won the young player of the tournament, so that's definitely due. And to get the two assists, setting up Haller for his special goal, because I know Adingra, we should talk about Adingra, but we need to mention...
respect to Haller, yeah.
We need to mention Haller. Like, the journey has been on incredible. Let me just try and find a couple. Yeah. I want to get this back right. Yeah, diagnosed with testicular cancer in 2002. Returns to professional football after overcoming the cancer in 2023 and then scores the winner in the AFCON final with an incredible finish. Great ball from Adingra, but just like the top of his boot on the underneath of his foot,
oh, such
puts it in the top corner. It was sensational. If you could write that script, that was the perfect ending to AFCON. And like, even just Ivory Coast in general, losing their manager midway through, getting rid of him, getting a bloke that thinks that was his first ever manager job. And then he won the tournament. It's just an insane story, and that's the beauty of AFCON. But yeah, Adingra, shining light in that team for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just really special for him.
It was 2022, not 2002.
Yeah, but, you said 2002.
Oh, did I say 2002?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was literally reading as well. How did I say 2002? Just to say, I was watching the Super Bowl yesterday. Yeah, that's my excuse. Half four went to bed.
Just to clarify. No, yeah. I think Halo would have been about five or something. But anyway, right. What was I going to say? Adingra, he was fantastic yesterday, and he's grown, I think, as the tournament went on as well. You could see his confidence grow as the tournament went on, and I think hopefully he brings that form back with him to Brighton. I'm sure he will, and hopefully we give him a McAllister-esque welcome as well. We'll give him a big party at the training ground, get all the, you know, sparklers out. I think he deserves it, and it, like he's 22, like you said, Ryan, he's a young lad, and to win the AFCON at such an early age and hopefully achieve great things with Brighton, you know, we could have a European run and even win it this year. Imagine that, an AFCON and a European title to his name in 1 year. That would be incredible. But he's been a big miss, and I can't wait to see him back.
It's refreshing to see Brighton players not be bottlers in these kind of big games now as well, and actually being the player that changes the script, because Adingra really grabbed the ball by the horns in that game. Like back in, well, not even like 5 years ago, you think if a Brighton player's in the final, we'd probably do something dodgy and lose it. But yeah, we've got some clutch players now that have got experience in these massive games, so it's only a benefit for us as well.
Yeah. Lewis Dunk's going to score a really goal in the final now.
Because I think I was only saying... Yeah, Lewis Dunk's still sure, mate. That's the trouble. But no, I'm glad you mentioned it, because, you know, I was only saying this yesterday, actually. Maybe I was talking to my dad about it, and we were saying about, you know, the fact that it doesn't seem like long ago that we were pretty much irrelevant in these sort of situations. Now everyone's talking about us, but more to the point, like Adingra's playing in this final, playing so well in this final, and being genuinely one of the best players. It probably was the best player on the pitch. As you say, like, it wasn't long ago that these bottlers, the Brighton DNA was to bottle it. And, you know, like Alexis McAllister, for example, in the World Cup final was probably one of the best players on the pitch again. And was probably one of, if it wasn't for Messi, probably one of Argentina's best players. So the fact that, you know, I say this about De Zerbi loosely, because I know he hasn't exactly got a big stack full of trophies in his cabinet, but he's a young manager. For me, I think that his mentality, you know, the way that we play football, I actually fancy us more in like Europe, or I actually fancy us more in competition football than I do in a league. Just because of, you know, we're quite inconsistent in the league. You know, we've had a 4-0 loss against Luton, then we come back 4-1 against Palace, then we lose 2-1 against Spurs. Probably shouldn't have lost against Spurs, in fairness. But I mean, the inconsistency of results. But then when I look at us in the tournaments, we're bang, bang, bang. We're very serious. And I think the mentality there, as you say, Ben, like Adingra, you know, we've got these players now that are representing their countries at young ages. I think it's just going to keep breeding. Actually, I think it's going to help us in the... I don't know about you, Maz, but I feel like it's going to help us in this last home stretch now for the Europa League. Even if we do bottle it in the Premier League, which, you know, I say bottle it, but I don't think we'll get as high as we did last season. But we've got a good opportunity now for two potential major trophies, genuinely, with our players coming
out. Yeah. No, 100%. And I think as well, it's like you look at... You've got the experienced heads, so you've got like the Lewis Dunks, the Adam Lallanas, the Danny Welbecks, you've got that group there. And now you've got the young, sort of up and coming leaders. So you mentioned Van Hecker, Gilmore. You can even look at Adingra now. Could he be a person you look to in those moments? João Pedro shown on time and occasion that he's got ice in his veins. So you've got these two groups now. You've got the experienced heads, and you've got the young sort of experienced heads as well. So you've got a really nice balance and mix of personalities and leaders, I suppose, that can get you through those big games, those big moments. So yeah, why not? Why can't we win the FA Cup? Why can't we win the Europa League? There's no reason why we can't. It's just, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But we have definitely got players that are capable of doing it. They've all played in big stages now. Look at Mitoma at Asia Cup. Look at Adingra at the AFCON. You just look around the team. João Pedro played for Brazil. Dunkey at England. Like, we just got around the team just internationals and players that are experienced. And I think, definitely. Why not? Why not dream, boys? Why not dream?
I agree. Ben, any add-ons to that?
No, I think I totally agree that we do have a good balance of players, and even the young players are players that can come in clutch in the big moments. So, there's not much more for me to say other than completely agreeing. We are in a very good place in tournament football, it seems, which is something I probably didn't think we were going to be at the beginning of the season, but now we do seem
same
to be yeah
same
yeah I completely agree.
Yeah, I fancy, I don't know, just like when I saw the Marseille game, the Ajax game, I wasn't worried, you know? I wasn't, even in the Marseille game where João Pedro scored last minute, I didn't think we were going to lose. I don't know, I feel like when I go into the Europe game, I'm like, yeah, I think we're going to win, I think we'll be okay. Whereas then when we're in the Premier League, like Sheffield United, for example, I know this isn't a preview, but I'm not so confident. I don't want to go to Bramall Lane because I don't think we'll win. And that's just me as a Brighton fan historically seeing this against the lower leagues. But I don't know. That's just me. I don't know. I feel like I trust this more. It's probably just a mentality thing. It's probably not actually a thing, but I feel like I fancy us more in a European competition. But I don't know. We'll see.
It's just funny. We got battered 4-0 by Luton. Covered, boys? And then,
sorry.
We got battered 4-0 against Luton, and then Sheffield United go and beat Luton at Kenilworth Road on the weekend. That's just classic football, classic Premier League football, really, isn't it?
Premier League football.
I think we should win. We should win against Sheffield United. But yes, no, I don't think there is much more. I've got to shoot soon, so I think if that's the last thing we've spoken about, then let's wrap up. But unless Maz has something else.
No, all good for me.
Go on, Maz. Nice one. Hopefully we get... let's get some messages for Jack Hitcherwood, by the way. Out for what said is 3 months. I think I would trust it as well. Could hopefully before the end of the season. But if not, might be a bit of a tough one with a fractured foot. Been playing on it for a few weeks. So hopefully... You couldn't miss Palace, could you, Jack? Not. So you know what I mean. So... If you've been playing on it if the rumours are true, you've been playing on it for a few weeks and you did play against Palace with a broken foot, hey, you wouldn't have scored otherwise, so it's all worth it.
Maybe that's why he only scores with his head.
Yeah, true. Yeah, don't want to hit it. Probably did it when he hit it against Spurs. He hit it so hard.
Yeah,
he probably did it then. Probably. But hopefully João Pedro as well is back sooner rather than later, because I do think we missed him, particularly in that Spurs game, that running and all that sort of thing. So two massive players, hopefully we get them back. Welcome Ibrahim Osman as well, because we haven't been on since we've been able to mention him. New £20 million man. Looking forward to seeing another 19-year-old link up next season. But go on.
And Barco soon as well. Like, it's just quite incredible. We're kind of a good time, a bad time. Bad timing, losing players. You know, we lose Hinchelwood. Veltman comes back. That's very handy. João Pedro, Vati comes back, even if he was a bit off it. Matoma comes back. So we got quite lucky there. It could have been a lot worse if all of the players were out still. But Dinga coming back, Barker coming back. We are in a good position, despite the difficult result to take against Spurs. But, you know, if that was a draw, we would be a lot more positive, for sure.
Be happy. Yeah, I agree. Nice. So make sure you comment below any of that stuff, anything you've agreed with, disagree with, or if you just want to comment something, comment that Tottenham are a bunch of cheats. Stop the diving, up the Albion. We'll see you just before Sheffield United. And thank you, boys, for joining me. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you very soon. And goodbye.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.